You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Ephesians 6 verse 10. One other announcement: not this Monday, but next Monday, we will be having a ministry meeting, Unlocking Fruitfulness in Your Ministry. And so that's going to be on a Monday. We just after 7 o'clock, not this Monday, next Monday. So all of those that are in ministry, you want to be in ministry, you want God to use your life, come out to that and it will help you. But let's move on to today. And so we're going to start a new series today called it Air Force. And so there's no trainers up there. I know that some of you, that's when you're Air Force, that's what you think about. But no, this is a different type of Air Force. And so we're going to be running this for 5 weeks. And then I believe that will take us right into our next revival, which is with Pastor Stacy Dillard. And so some of you know him. He's never preached in our church before, but this should be very good. Well, it will be very good. Amen. And so we're going to believe God for that. But I want to move into this message today. Let me just say straight off the bat, this sermon is going to be a little bit strange to some of you. I'm just telling you straight away, especially if you're a visitor here, you're going to be like, this is where we're going to be a little bit different today. Not weirdo, you know, we're not weirdos, but it is going to be on a subject that people are going to be like, Because this is something, this is part of the church, it's part of being a Christian. But what we're going to start to talk about is elements of things that sometimes the church doesn't want to talk about because of how the perception of the world or what people think about us. But I'm telling you that this is going to be one of the most important messages. And so this is just going to be laying the foundation of what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. But listen, God's going to change you. God is going to change you, not because of any marvelous eloquence of my own skill or homiletics and all of that, but because this is the Word of God and it's the truth of God. And let's get straight into the Word of God. I've said that about 5 times, Word of God, to the Word of God. But amen, the Word of God is good. Anyway, Ephesians 6 verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." This is why I said it gets a bit, people are, there's a devil? Yep, there is a devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your dominion, your power, your authority. Father, that you would magnify your Son Jesus Christ as Lord and King over our lives. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence and hear your word. We pray, Father, you give us the victory. Father, I just want to come against every spirit of the victim. Father, I pray that you've called us to be more than conquerors in Jesus. And we want that. We're going to walk in that. And we're going to believe God for it. We're going to believe you that you're going to do this. And all God's people said,
amen.
And so the reason why this is called Air Force is because in our text here, it speaks about there is a war going on. And it says in heavenly places. That means in the air. That there is a war between the forces of good and the forces of evil going on around us in the air. Now, let me start by saying this. In this letter, he says this: "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Now, some people, or should I say some Christians, the way that they live their life is that they think it says we do not wrestle. That's it. Like there is no war, there is no conflict, there is, you know, you get saved, and so because I'm saved now, everything should work well. And you know what, the reason why some people believe that is because some churches have taught them that. Fake. Come to the Lord and He'll give you everything. Like say, God is a genie. God ain't no genie. I'm not going to twist nothing. I'm not going to lie to nobody. The real deal, the Bible says, get saved and you enter into a battle. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. People won't get... No. Once you see what you need to do, you will do it. Yeah. The Bible says that we are all involved in a spiritual battle, an unseen war, but many act and live as if to say there is no battle. I want to say this, every single person here, it doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're educated or not, whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter at all what you've got or what you don't have. Every single one of you are involved in a war. Every single one of you are involved in a war. But not every single one of you are engaged in a battle. What do we mean? That there is a war going on around you. You know how many, if you read the Bible, this is why I'm surprised about the most, how passive many Christians are today. Is that the Bible speaks so many times about endure hardship like a good soldier. The Bible's telling, listen, if you're a Christian, you've got to be a soldier. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you're a Christian, be a soldier. The Bible says, fight the good fight. These are military terms. The Bible didn't say, oh, you know, just enjoy the good enjoyment. The Bible didn't say, oh, you know what, you're a good civilian. No, the Bible says, you're a soldier. You're involved in an army. See, the church is not a pleasure cruise. See, me and my wife, we always talk about going on a cruise. I was speaking to some sisters recently. They went on a cruise. They had a good time. Amen. And they were telling me what was going on now, and I was tempted, man. And I'm not dissing the cruise, because me and my wife, we was going to go on a cruise, and then I saw this thing on YouTube about how these ships can easily fall over, and I was like, babe, man, let's just stay on land, you know what I mean? Because we ain't the best of swimmers, you know? But listen, the church is not a luxury liner. Where you get up and you can have, you know, 5-course meals and there's a swimming pool and you can sit by out on the decks and get and receive the rays. No. The church is a battleship. That's what the church is. The church is engaged in a war, the war for the souls of mankind. The reason why I think we find this even harder is that we are not really from a fighting generation. How many know that just a few days ago it was like an anniversary of VE Day? Is that what it is? VE Day? Yeah. And so Victory in Europe Day. I think they said it's 70 years. Was it 70 years? Now, boss, you should know. Yeah, I know. I wasn't there, but you know. You think so? Really and truly, if you was involved in that day. When the war ended, I'm going through this book about Winston Churchill, The Last Lion, it's called. And so in this book, it starts to speak about in 1940, in September, when the Blitz started coming on. And it starts to speak about these areas, how they were bombing. You know, we don't even understand what they were going through. Imagine like you're that siren, and you've got to all run out, go into the tube, and you get up, and the whole road is gone. Imagine that. Imagine you get up, you come out of the tube, you come out of Clapham Common, and you come out, you look around, and you come back to Surrey Lane or to Winstanley, and it's gone. It's all gone, 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 blown to bits. That's what people were living in not too long ago. But we're not from that generation. Those people are dying out now. I watched on the BBC website, they had some war veterans there. They're in a wheelchair, man. They're just like old people. They're in a wheelchair. They're just pushing them around. Soon they'll be gone. I don't say that to be disrespectful, but that's the reality. Soon they'll be gone. And then there will be nobody left that actually was alive when there was a war going on. Men and women that could fight. Men and women that had a fight in them, because I'm reading this thing and it's actually very interesting. It started to say, and I didn't understand the implications of this. When Hitler goes in and Hitler takes all these other countries and like France, and so Britain and France are talking and say, look, let's hold it out. We're the allies. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep fighting Hitler. And so the Germans are attacking France, attacking France, attacking France. And eventually the French say, listen, it's over. And the France and England said, we will never surrender. We promise each other, we'll never surrender. We will fight until the last of us stand. And France signed that pact. And then when it got tough, France said, no, forget this.
Forget it. You're on a long thing. Church, you're on your own. And so they said, nah, we're signing over. And so they surrendered to Hitler. That's how Hitler took over France. He surrendered. And so America and France said, within another few weeks, England will be finished. England will be finished. Hitler's coming. That little country there, you can't deal with him. He's taken all of Europe. He's coming with a superior army. The Germans, they're the superior army. They're the engineers. They're going to take you. And Winston Churchill says, listen, that's when he stands up and he says, we'll fight them on the beaches. And he starts to go on in this thing. And basically what he says is this. He says, let them come. Make them come. Because once they arrive, they've got a war on. War. That's what he was saying. He says, so when they come, they'll arrive on the beaches. We'll fight them there. If they get into the sea, then we'll fight them there. They'll have to go down each road. They'll be coming down York Gardens, Winstanley, boof. Even if you've only got a broom, you'll fight them. He says, they will not take this country and we're still alive. Yeah. See, that was a spirit. Oh, what if it was today? There'd be men hiding. Men would be running. No, I'm going to America, man. We don't understand the war. Let me tell you this now. We may not understand the physical war. We may be distant from that. And we can't, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But the reality is this. Let me tell you this now. We are in a life and death struggle with all of our lives. Either you will live like a victim or you will rise up and be a soldier. Either you're going to live like a victim. The devil is going to push you around. He's going to take over your life. He's going to do what he wants. He's going to impose his will. The Bible says that the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. We see that in our communities, in our lives. We see people being destroyed. We see people's lives being wasted. Families are being broken. How many young people grow up in a fatherless home, in poverty? We see many young men in prison getting sucked into gangs. Whose will is that? Is that your will? Is there anybody here that says, no, that's my plan. I plan that. No, there was not one of you that would say that's your plan. Is it God's plan? No, that's the devil's plan. The Bible tells us he came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he desires. When you see someone hooked on crack or hooked on drugs or an alcoholic, that's the devil's plan. Kill, steal, and destroy. When you see children threatening their own parents, hey, listen, that's the devil's plan. That's a demonic strategy. You see young men from one edge of London, and you live 3, 2, 1 mile away, and you now want to shoot someone over there. Huh? You, 1 mile, not even the other end of London. Not even like London against Manchester. Not even in a different borough. All in the same borough. You better not come round here. Well, you better not come round here. You'll be caught slipping. They still use that. I don't know if they use that, but I heard it once a while ago. So I just have to put those little words in there. Yeah, oh, he understands. He's with us. Whose will is that? It's the devil's will. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to show you that none of us are distant from this. None of us. Oh, you know, yeah, let the church deal with it. Listen. In church, out of church, you're involved. But the reality is, he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But the Bible says that we do wrestle. We just don't fight flesh and blood. See, there's too many people fighting the wrong battle. You're fighting flesh and blood. What does he mean by flesh and blood? You're fighting people. You fight with people. You think people are your enemy. That's the problem. You're fighting with people. And let me tell you this out. This is how the devil moves. The devil just speaks into mankind, and mankind will war.
They were war. Just fight with anybody. We could look at it and say, okay, this is a war against races. No, even if we was all one race, they'd still be fighting. If we could all be exactly the same, and the devil would convince us to fight against shoe sizes. Yeah, I'm 6. Yeah, I'm 8. Let's war. Because we think, remember the Bible says that Jesus gets arrested. Peter pulls out his sword. Remember we spoke about that? Don't ask me why he was walking with a sword. Listen, I ain't never tell nobody to walk with no sword. But Peter pulls out the sword and he cuts off the guy's ear, because naturally we always want to fight flesh. We always see flesh people as our problem. The Bible says Moses is called to be a deliverer. One day Moses is walking around in Egypt. He sees one of the Egyptians beating his people. What does he do? He kills the Egyptian. Because again, he sees that the problem is people. And there are some people here, you're fighting the wrong battle. You see people as your problem. If it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for him. Some of you see your boss as your problem. You're fighting your boss. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. Oh, that boss. Listen, get God on your side. Promotion doesn't come from the east or to the west. I've had bosses that love me. I've had bosses that hate me. It don't bother me, because I know who I serve. I'm a child of the Most High God. When God is ready to promote me, he'll promote me. Either you get with the program or you step aside. But God is going to deal with you one way or another, because God is on my life. People are arguing with their family. There's people here that you got beef in your family. You're always beefing, beef. And you see them as your enemy. You see them as, they're your enemy. There, you put all your energy in talking about them and coming against them. The Bible said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Even in the church. What about marriage? It went quiet. Hey, listen, when it goes quiet, I know I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. People find her, she's the problem. No, he's the problem. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem, your enemy, is not the government. I heard that they had a protest the other day, just yesterday. They're protesting. Was it yesterday? They're walking around, they're kicking things over, protesting. You're protesting. Hold up, we people voted. You're protesting against democracy. What do you want? A dictatorship? Some of you didn't even cock it. Hold up, they're protesting, but we voted. They had a vote, they had an election. Do you thank God that you can elect somebody? Sometimes you don't even let people elect nobody. See, one of the signs of carnality, the word carnality means spiritually immature. Means you haven't spiritually matured. You're a carnal person. You do not understand the full implications of spirituality. Is that you war in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3, what does it say? For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? Because I want you to think about this. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so when you're fighting people, you're putting all your energy into fighting people, and this person is your enemy and all of that, you never really will win. Because you've got to understand this. Who's pulling their strings? Who's pulling their strings? Imagine I was up here and I would have liked to have got a puppet, but I didn't have time. But imagine I've got a puppet on my hand here. You know, like a puppet show, and I go, hello. Imagine I've got a puppet here. And as I'm up here, I'm looking at, the puppet's facing you, and I start insulting you. Oh, look at your hair. You smell. You'd be like, oh, what's going on here? This is strange. This is weird. You'd be, you know, if you're mature, you'd be like, it's crazy, Pastor. You've lost your mind, man. You lost your mind. Look at your weave. Where'd you get those shoes? A start insulting people like that. Imagine if you saw one person just say, I've had enough of this. And they march up to the pulpit here. They grab the puppet and they start fighting it. So they drag it off my hand. I step back and they're just fighting the puppet, stamping on it. Ah, you said my weave is not great. This weave is new. Don't you understand? This is not plastic hair. This is real hair. And you start going crazy. We'd be like, are you mad? You'd be like, are you nuts? Because you'd be like, it's not the puppet, bro, sis. It's the one who is controlling the puppet. See, but there's many of you fighting a person. You don't realize the devil is pulling their strings. You're dealing with the puppet. They looked at me. They said, you're looking at the puppet. You're constantly fighting puppets. And what the devil does is you drag it off his hand and he just steps back. And you know what he does? He puts it in his pocket and he gets another one. And he'll just keep doing it. And your whole life is wasted fighting people, fighting this person and that person and this person and that person. And nothing changes. Nothing changes in your life. What is, you need your eyes opened. I remember there was a saying going around in the 90s. I think they got it from a film. But it said, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled on mankind is convincing mankind that he doesn't exist. He says, that is the greatest trick of the enemy. And this is why I said in the beginning of the sermon, this is going to be slightly different, because in this sophisticated, technological, Bluetooth, go to the moon, Wi-Fi, internet age, Pastor, why are you talking about the devil? We're educated, we're so educated, so sophisticated that he's tricked you, that you don't even believe he exists anymore. Listen, that's why he can do anything he wants with you. And even if you see the negative consequences of his actions, you do not attribute them to him. You attribute them to a person, and you go off for another 5 years fighting that person while the devil stands back laughing at you. He's got you wrapped around his finger doing exactly what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. The Bible says that we should expose the enemy. Ephesians 5 verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You need to understand who your enemy is. See, once you understand who your enemy is, then you're more equipped to fight him. And rather than in your marriage destroying one another, you say, we need to get the devil out of this. We need to see. Listen, there's too many married couples fighting each other. Fighting each other, man. Hey, you're the devil. You're the devil, you witch. the people fighting each other. But how refreshing will it be when a couple will sit down and say, listen, why are we fighting each other? We need to fight together and get the enemy out of this marriage. We need to get the devil out of this marriage, man. But you got to know him first, man. You see, the destruction, families splintered, this aunt and uncle on that side, this cousin and that side arguing, no one will go around that person's house, no one was going to talk to that person, all of this. Listen, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Brother and sister not talking and mother and son not getting on. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You need to draw back and say, listen, we need to fight together and get the devil out of this thing. As long as you're fighting one another, the devil is happy, man. Even in your health, even in your finances. See, the Bible says this in our text. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but what do we wrestle against? Because we are going to come up against things. You know, some people, they want life to be easy. Like, as soon as there's an obstacle, they just give up. If you're one of these people that as soon as there is an obstacle, like, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and when I grow up, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start a company. What are you going to do? I don't know, but I'm going to start a company. Okay. And you're going to do all of this stuff. And so you're talking. And listen, I see people talk all my life. I'm 42 this year. I've seen talkers come and go. There's going to come a point when you're going to come up against something. Life is not like a slide where you get on and you just, woo, all the way down, all through life. Woo, yeah, wow, this is good. Slide through education, that was easy. Slide through interviews, woo, that was fun. Slide through a career, hey, slide through marriage and relationships, wow. Slide all the way, bringing up kids, wow, that was a joy. Just sliding all the way till you get to the end of your deathbed. You've lived till 90, no problems, no stress, no nothing. You slide into your bed, you're 101, you're like, okay, it's time to go now. Life is like that for nobody. Not even, think about this now, not even the royals. They're like the richest people. What are they stressed about? Prince Charles, he couldn't even keep his marriage together. This is the prince. This is the man with all the money in the world, and he still couldn't keep his marriage together. Yeah, if I had some money, I'd know everything. Listen, nobody is exempt. Yeah. All of us are going to come up against. Look how many times he says it in the text. Let me read it. He said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You got to understand, you're going to come up against. What are we coming up against? He says, first of all, he says principalities and powers. What does that mean? I had to study this out. Principality is an area which is governed. So we could almost say like a borough or a region ruled by somebody. The Bible says that there's principalities and powers. What it means is rulers and authorities. We understand that we have a mayor of London. But then within London, we have boroughs. And recently we had the elections. And it's only now I realized that you know, who does what in Wandsworth. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't up to date with it. And so I realized, oh, so this woman won in Battersea. Oh, that person won in Tooting. Okay, this person is in Putney. And the different regions. And so these different people are controlling these different areas. The Bible says in the spiritual realm, there's that. You can look at me, I don't believe it. No problem, you don't need to believe it. For it to be real, there are demonic forces that are controlling. So there is a demonic force that, let me just throw this out, that could be controlling Junction, Battersea. You go over the bridge, Fulham, it's a different area. You go up the road, you got Tooting, then you go Brixton. Different demonic forces. This is why many times you think about it, if you go into different areas, it's like totally different. You go into an area and their problem is different than their problem. Because there is a demon spirit that is controlling. There's a demon spirit that will have people bound in different things in different areas. And this is what the Bible says that we are coming up against. Jesus says this in Mark 2. He says these words. He says, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Jesus says the devil has a kingdom. What he means is there is a hierarchy. This is organized. Jesus meets a guy, and the guy is demon possessed, man. He's out of control. His life is out of control. See, nowadays you see people, their life is out of control. We say, oh, send them to Springfield, send them to Morley's, send them to, not Morley's, that's where you buy chicken. Hey, who knows, man? Maybe the chicken helped them. Praise God. You know the other one, amen. But Jesus looked and said, listen, this guy's got a demon in him. Mark 5 verse 9, and he asked him, and this is what Jesus says to the guy, what's your name? But Jesus wasn't speaking to the guy, speaking to the demon. And he asked, you see, because Jesus is not fighting flesh and blood. Jesus realizes, hold up, there's a bigger problem here. We would have put him in counseling. We would have given him a social worker. That's what we would have done. Jesus says, no, I'm going straight to the, listen, I don't want to deal with the puppet. I'm coming for the puppet master. Yeah. Jesus says, what is your name? The guy says,
My name is Legion, we are many. Legion is a Roman military term. And as I researched this, a legion of soldiers can be up to from 5,000 up to 8,000. This guy had over 5,000 demons in him. That pastor, yeah, you said you was going to get scary. Yeah, it's a pastor. You didn't like all the exorcist stuff and the demons and people climbing up the walls. And yeah, listen, there's a truth to that. I don't know about climbing up walls. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't want to see it. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then he says, against rulers of darkness of this wicked age. I want you to think about it. This is what we're coming up against, church. And let me speak to Christians. The Bible says that there are rulers of darkness of this wicked age. They are wicked. They are keeping people in darkness. See, we think that people sometimes they just have a sinful lifestyle. Why are they living like that? They're just living a sinful lifestyle. No, because there are rulers of darkness that have control over them. They have control over them. They're keeping them in darkness. This dark lifestyle. You see people that are bound by drugs and alcohol. Nobody leaves school and says, yeah, I want to be a drunkard. Nobody leaves school. I ain't never met nobody who said, yeah, I want to be a drunkard. I want to be an alcoholic. But there are many alcoholics. Maybe there's even some in the house of God. Sipping saints. Bound by alcohol. See, I know what it is to be bound by alcohol because before I got saved, there was a spirit on my family's life, alcohol. My mom was an alcoholic. My uncle was an alcoholic. My granddad was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. Couldn't get through life. The Bible says that there are spirits that are controlling people. Think about it. Sexual immorality. People that are bound. A spirit is riding them. Forcing them. I've met men that basically have confessed that they cannot live faithful and be faithful to one woman. I remember reading years ago, one of these actresses, good looking actress, man. If she came in and just got saved, some single man, hey, praise God, God spoke to me. She'd be like, yeah, God spoke to me, man. You right there. You would have thought you won a lottery. This guy marries her, can't stop cheating on her. Brothers are scratching their head. The guy had to go into, he said, I need to check myself into a clinic. A clinic? Like, did you catch the flu? No, because there are spirits that keep people bound. They're bound. This says there are forces that are move upon the earth. Let me tell you this now. This is why there are some things that we see people do that we still cannot understand. Let me speak about something. Pedophiles. That makes no sense to me. I can understand a guy robs a bank. Okay, it makes sense. He wanted money. We all want a bit of money. So he robbed the bank. I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand it. But what pleasure do you get at looking at a child being abused? No. Church, you're not feeling me today. There are people in this society that gain pleasure from looking at naked children being abused, and it gets them going. And we think, oh, there's something just wrong with them. Yeah, there is something wrong with them. They are demon possessed. There is a demon that is riding them that has an insatiable appetite for wickedness. Yes. Rape. What is it? Listen, rape. Raping a woman. What kind of sick mind? Well, hold up. She said no. Listen, once a woman says no, I don't care what she said before. Once she says no, no is no. Yeah, but she said no. Now, some women ain't got no business being in certain places. But I ain't even going to preach that. But once a woman says no, it's no. What would possess you? I was reading an article about a man who raped an old pensioner. An old age pensioner. What kind of sickness? Imagine if that's your grandmother. Listen, it's war. It's war, man. I'm going to start my own prison ministry, man. But that's where I'm going to be. You did it. Hey, God help me, man. God has to help me, man. That's how you feel. But sometimes you gotta step back and say, no, hold up. That ain't right. That's a demon spirit, man. That's a demon spirit holding people. You know, the funny thing I was saying to my wife the other day, me and my wife, we listen to the news when we're driving around. And have you noticed over the last few years, all these so-called celebrities, people keep claiming they was abusing them. It keeps coming out every week. It was like a new person. Think about it. Over the last 30 years, we're so sophisticated now. Yes, we don't need to get married. We know we don't need God. Leave God out. Now you see. Now you see what's really going on under the surface. People that you was growing up looking at on TV. Yeah, them. No. You would be saying yeah if they live near you. Murder. You see, there's a spirit of our age today. Let me just speak about something, just two things, because I think this is more applicable to where we live and where we are right now. And I remember growing up with this, where you see life is becoming cheaper and cheaper. People will make songs, and in that song they'll talk about they would kill somebody. Like life is cheap. Like basically I would kill you. Now, some of you here have been listening to it for so long that it actually doesn't even sound shocking to you anymore. Where's the entertainment in that? Have you not seen that's wrong? Where guys are talking in such a way that they're disrespecting women? Think about this now. Hold on. You know what the natural desire for human beings is? To extend the existence of their own race, meaning the human race. The desire is that we don't all wipe each other out. That's why we're scared of war and all of that, because we all know we're going to die. But to kill every, you know, so the desire is that we extend ourselves. And God put that, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. But now we gain pleasure out of talking about killing people and disrespecting our own women. Disrespecting our own women. Hold up, bro. That's the mother of your child, or the mother of someone's child in your generation. Who wants you to disrespect the women of your own generation? The devil. Because he hates you, and the Bible says he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh no, some people think, no, the devil is my friend. The devil will give me some weed. Yeah, he'll give you some weed. That's right, he'll give you some weed. Just like when people want to sell drugs back in the days when crack come out, people were giving the crack away free to get you addicted, and then you come back. I remember my dad, he lived in America at the time. He was telling me when he heard about this new drug, and it was crack when it came out, and they were just giving it away free, and they were doing things. And he said, but one bit, people were just getting addicted like that. It just came out. And the devil will give you stuff, yes, but it's always with the motive to destroy. Yeah, it says that there are these powers, man. Not only that, there are powers that false religion. Why people will give themselves. Hold up, any religion that tells me to start cutting people's heads off, there's something wrong there. Yeah, I thought I had more amens than that. So cut people. Why have I got to be cutting people's heads off? Why do I need to fly planes into buildings? Listen. You know there's something wrong when every country where a religion is war. Look on the map. Every country, war. Oh, no. No. It's peaceful. It's radicalist. That's how it begun. You don't know your history.
You've been fooled by the politics and the politicians. Because the politicians are just scared to say anything. Listen, I'm not scared to say nothing. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. Not Muhammad, not Allah, not Buddha. There is no other way. Pastor, be careful, they'll come for you. Listen, you can't deal with a Christian. If it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. Amen. I know where I'm going. Yes, I know where I'm going. You exit me from this life, listen, I go on. My life insurance is paid. My wife is taken care of. I'm ready to go. I'd rather die standing than live bowing. Don't say nothing. See that? That's a spirit. There's a spirit that's been released. The spirit of timidity. Timidity spirit. People are scared all the time. Don't say. It's a spirit. You have people believing all types of nonsense. Religious cults. There are demonic spirits. Even our, as a Christian, you battle with your own demons. Times when you wonder why pride just gets you. Feeling a burden of pride. Lust, anger, fear. You wonder why you go through this. Listen, the Bible says that you will come up against these things. The devil is so good at this. This is what he does. He will tempt you. He will wrestle you. He make you feel prideful. Make you feel lust. He bang, like, go, do it. Look. Da, 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 da. And as soon as you do it, it switch on you. Ha! You ain't no Christian. What kind of Christian are you? See, the devil is a strategist. Have you ever known? Listen, so one time you're strong, you're living for God, you're just going through your life living for God, and nothing happens. You start to feel you're battling, you're single, you're like, oh my days, this ain't easy. And the very day that you start to battle, hey, there's a new guy on the job. He's sitting right next to you, man. And he's like, hey, how you doing? Now you're like, oh my days, battling. Because it's a setup. There are spirits moving things around, setting you up. I remember hearing about this trap. When I went to when we went to Jamaica, we went to Black River, and the guy was showing us that there's a trap, that they put this thing in the water. It's like a butt, it's ingenious. They just made it out of, I don't know, bamboo or something. And it's like, it's all weaving. And it goes, and the fish fly in. No. They swim in, amen. Hey, Jamaica's good, but ain't that good. And so the fish swim in, it's a trap. They go in, but they can't come back out. Because there's these sharp bits that go in. And they can't come back out because you can swim in. To get in is easy. To get out, you can't get out. And the devil is setting traps. How many women have got into a relationship to get out? There are some women I've met. Listen, if you could press a button and get rid of that dude, they would be pressing it. To go buy a packet of cigarettes and to take one out, light it, smoke it. Easy to get rid of them. See how the devil works. Let me close. The Bible says we wrestle. You know what wrestling is? Wrestling is different than boxing. People keep asking me the weekend, did you see the boxing, Pastor? Did you see the fight, Pastor? Did you see the boxing? I saw the little highlights. I'm not staying up to watch two men beat each other up. That's what it is, isn't it, man? You can go down into the hood and see that, man. No, Pastor, this is different, man. Okay, it's different. It's different. It's that we paid them like £100 million to do it. That's what's different. But I ain't against that. I'm not against that. But this is different. And I don't know nothing about boxing, but people were disappointed. People were like, oh, boo, like it. This is what the guy won. It's boxing. What do you want? But they said what it was is this guy that won, he was just keeping him away, man. Keeping his distance, dealing with the guy. So See, wrestling is not like that. You can't win wrestling by going backward. You can't win wrestling by avoiding contact. Wrestling is, you've got to get hold of that person. And the Bible says we're not boxing. Like, there's a distance. Wrestling is that me and a demon is close. This is close combat. This is, I've got to push through this. This is why, Christian, sometimes it feels like something's holding on to you because you are wrestling. This is why it feels, you know, when you're wrestling, sometimes you would feel the weight of your opponent. This is why you feel a weight sometimes as a Christian. You feel that weight of doing right. Sometimes when you're doing right, it feels wrong. How many ever done right and it felt wrong? Yeah. You ever, how many ever humbled themselves? Yeah. Like someone has dissed you and you're like, I'm going to diss you. I'm going to give you something, man. And God's got hold of you. Wrestle with that anger, that violence. Listen, if you ain't never felt it, then you're not wrestling. You know the word wrestling, you know what it means? It means to struggle. You know sometimes people come up, Pastor, I'm struggling. Lie, you're not struggling, you've given up. You're not struggling because the Bible says we all struggle. Struggling, that's what it is. Miles, come up here. Anthony, it's your fault, you sit at the front. Come up on the stage here. Hallelujah. Put your hands up like that. This is funny, man. Grasp each other's hands like that. Yeah, and then he's ready to go, man. Let me just sit down here. That looks good. Yeah. Okay. So we got support. Someone go, Miles. Aren't you guys at the same Bible study? Yeah, battle of the Bible studies. Think about this now. This is, start to put some weight on it. Go on. Not too much. Don't want to. The next minute, the wife should be getting up. We don't want that. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That's my man. Lucky they're good friends. Amen. But you see what's going on here? This is wrestling. This is what it is. The Bible says that we're struggling. Sorry, Annie, you're going to be the devil. This is the saint. And so you're wrestling. You're pushing against pride and lust and anger and all of these things. You've got to feel that. Now imagine, just let him push you back. If you give up, soon as you give up, you're going back. You've got to be constantly pushing. This is what it is. The struggle that you're going through. You can sit down. Thank you. And so when people come and they say, Pastor, I'm struggling. Good. Keep struggling. Don't give up. Pastor, I'm struggling. Good. Don't give up. Keep on. Good. Keep it. Push it. Take your marriage back. Take your children back. Take back your finances. Yeah. Taking back my purity. Yeah. Listen, I'll do it all the way out the building, down the road, back to Vauxhall. I'll cross the bridge. That's what it is. But you know what it is? Many times what people call struggling is this. Struggling. No, you've given up. You've given up. You came up against, yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I've come up against something. I've slowed down. I was growing. I was reading. I was in church. I've come up against something. Yes, you have. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. See, the problem is, too many Christians are like Easter eggs. You know, Easter egg is pretty and sweet. Listen, let me tell you this now. This church is not for the pretty and the sweet. We're not that type of church. Here we're ragged, rugged, and rough. You're like, yeah, we know, we see you, man. That's right. That's how we're going to roll up here. Because we're not here, praise God, hallelujah. How you doing? Yeah, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Playing the game, hallelujah, okay. I'll see you next Sunday. No. What it is that we're in a fight. Yeah. See, Easter egg is pretty and it's sweet, but it can't take pressure. It can't take pressure. And an Easter egg is covered with a thin layer of shiny stuff. And I said, some Christians, a thin layer of shiny scriptures. For God so loved the world. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know all the little scriptures. But as soon as there's any conflict, any pressure, you know what? Listen, when I think about it now, when I spoke about these demons, these darkness, you think there's a demon that runs Wandsworth. There's a demon that runs things. And it's not the devil. You know some people are the devil. Listen, you ain't that important for the devil to come down here for you. You know that? You know there's only one devil? There's only one devil. God is the only one who's omnipresent. God is the only one that can be everywhere. So when you say there's the devil, ain't the devil. If the devil, listen, the devil ain't got no time for you. The devil don't even know you exist. Imagine that people are going to die stand before God. It was the devil. The devil, I didn't even know that brother. Where? Where did he live? Winston what? One's what? I didn't know. No, I didn't know. He did it himself. But there is a principality. There is a demon that is running maybe the area. Maybe there's a few that's been the truth. You're in a spiritual warfare. I know this sounds like some sort of Lord of the Rings, Star Wars kind of fantasy. No. Many times, fiction reflects reality. There's a reason why people think like this, because there is an unseen truth. And when you think of all of this, wow, this battle, this enemy that doesn't sleep, that doesn't get tired, that doesn't have to eat, this enemy that's coming against me. How many know you feel like you're out of your weight class? This is why there's times you feel overwhelmed. You are out of your weight class, so am I. But this is where the victory comes, and this is what we're going to start looking at over the next 4 weeks after this message. This message is really just the foundation, this is the plate. But we're going to be giving people instruction, how to fight this, and how to get the victory over this. But let me just leave you with this. Ephesians 6 verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." What he's saying is this. When he says, be strong, he's saying, have courage. That's what he's telling you. He says, have courage. You're going to have to fight. And it's going to feel ferocious. You're in a battle. But you need to understand that this battle is real, but you need to have courage. When I was in Benin, the pastor there, he's from Sierra Leone. And so he was telling me some stories about Sierra Leone, and I was like, hey, so what was going on there, man? Because those that know, there was a war in Sierra Leone. And so, you know, brutal war. Oh, we can't even imagine. There's people in the church that have gone through it. They was alive, they've gone through it. Some of you need to talk to them. I said, tell me some stuff, man, because I'm weedy. But one of the stories he was telling me, he said, when the problem was is that no one was coming to help, and there was these rebels and all of this, and he said there was one point where towards the end of the war now, I can't remember all the story, he said that Nigeria was sending these soldiers over, and he said these soldiers were big. He said these Nigerians were coming over, these are soldiers. He said they were just big brothers, man. Serious, some of the Nigerians are like, yeah, we came, so we like it. And so they come over, and he said there was one time where there's a battle going on. Now, and this blows my mind, because, you know, I'm imaginative, so I tried to put myself in the picture. What would I feel? He said there's a wall that looks like it's been blown up or something. And so they're down, and the Nigerian soldier is firing a gun. Like, bang, 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 bang. And so they're right there. And so he said him and his wife, and I don't know if his children, he said he's right there. And as he's there, he said he's looking up, and the Nigerian guy is saying, put your head down, put your head down. And bullets are flying backward and forward. He says, overwhelming, overwhelming. This is what we are in, church. We need to take courage. Imagine if he just passed out, fainted. Oh, dead. The guy can't carry him around. You need to take courage. But let me read this. The implication is not that you look for it in yourself. This is the problem of many Christians. They're looking in themselves to find courage. You will not beat this battle. You will not beat the enemy by yourself. You cannot beat the enemy by yourself. You will buckle. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Because remember, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. You do not look for this courage in yourself. Let me push that further. You do not look for this courage in your own spirituality, in your own maturity, in your own education, your influence, your position, your prestige, your money, your programs, your personal rights, or any other people. The strength that you need is found solely and only in Christ. He says this: be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need to look to Jesus. Jesus is the only brother that came, walked upon this earth, died, and then took back his life. There's nobody. You could talk about any prophet you want. You can talk about any guru. You can talk about any religious leader. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. He impacted 12 men so powerfully that all of them men were willing to die for what they believed. Because when you see a man do that, it changes you. See, there's many people there can talk about, oh yeah, Jesus and all of that, blah blah blah. No problem. What if you knew you was gonna die? What if you knew you was gonna die? See, then you'd be like, no, actually, you know, I was joking. We hit his body. We didn't. Because if it was you that pulled it off, if he actually did die and you just hit his body somewhere, you ain't gonna die for that. They looked at Jesus. And they said, this is where our strength is coming from. Let me tell you this now, Christian. This battle that you're in, you got excited when I was, he was getting excited. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. That's me. I'm going to do that now. Don't look at yourself. Because you're going to, yeah, come on, devil. Oh, my days. You're going to fold. The Bible says, no. Your strength is looking at Jesus. Let me give these scriptures out quickly. I've gone over my time. Apologize. But let me just give these scriptures out quickly and it will help you. Philippians 2 verse 10. And that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. The Bible says every knee. Your knee one day is going to bow to Jesus. It's either you do it now on earth. But not only your knee. Every demonic force, every devil, every demon, every power, every principality will bow and say that Jesus is Lord. Have you ever read in the scriptures when Jesus is walking about? We never hear Jesus running from a demon. We hear demons running from him. This is why people, Christians, running from demons. Why are you running from a demon? If you really are saved, why are you running from a demon? Our Lord and Savior never ran from no demon. They ran from him. You've been watching too much Hollywood. With that gay priest walk up in there and like, cast you out, and then the thing rip him to shreds or some madness. I remember seeing a film like that when I was growing up. I was like, I don't want to serve Jesus. Why do I want to serve? No one wants to serve the losing side. Listen, I'm not on the losing side. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. All we need to do is follow Jesus. There's a king, I never knew this, but there's a guy, he's King George II. And I'm not boosting him up or anything, but this guy lived around the 1700s. King George II. Why are you mentioning him? Because King George II is the last king of England that ever led his troops into battle. After that, a king never led his troops into battle. See, it's okay for Tony Blair and Bush and these politicians to send troops into battle. It's easy to, yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's easy. That's wrong. I don't know what they went through. But it's a whole other thing when you lead people into battle. It's a whole nother thing when there was a time when kings would be like, listen, we got to roll up. Let's saddle up, guys. Let's ride out. Let's deal with this. The king would be at the front. Let's go, guys. For England. And they would go and fight. That's how kings would, that's how King George said, he was the last one to do that. And so since then, every soldier has had to go into battle, but not knowing where his king is. But can I tell you this? Every soldier of Jesus follows their king, because our king battled for us. He went to the cross and he said, remember we looked at it the other day in Revelation. He says, he that was alive died and is alive. He that was dead and risen. Jesus says, listen, I've already conquered this. You can conquer it. Follow me. You will crush Satan's. He's under your foot. That, you know, that's what the Bible says, that you would walk on snakes and scorpions and all of that. Just came into, it's just, you know, Holy Spirit just gave me that scripture. Yeah, seriously, one in my notes. Think about it now. He's just saying, that's under your foot, man. It's not even like, that's the dominion that we should have. That's the dominion a Christian should have. That devil, get under my foot. There's a part when you see the king, he destroys this other king, this kingdom, he brings the king. And he says, you know what, guys, put your foot on their neck. Put your foot on their neck. It's like, yeah, this is dominion. That's what it is. That's what God's going to, listen, God wants you to say, listen, I'm going to bring that spirit, lust, pride, wickedness, porn, all of those things, all of those nasty things that's tempting you. God's going to say, put your foot on his neck. Put your foot on his neck. I give you dominion. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.